Today's July 26th, 2026. Current Bitcoin price is $64,820.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
Man, oh man, Rick, you know, last time we were talking about how like we're everything seems like it's on pause. And I think we've been talking about this. It's probably been more than just the last couple of episodes. I think everything is kind of felt that way when we look at the markets in general. And here we are almost, not quite, but almost where we were last week.
Basically. Yep. I know it's just everything's stagnation right now. That is, seems to be the word of everything. The S&P keeps going up a little bit, you know. How much steam does it have left? I don't know.
It all depends, man. Dow Jones is at 51,000.
Yep. Thank God we didn't get the Epstein files at 51,000.
Yeah, right. NASDAQ's at 28,000, S&P's at 7,400. The VIX is at negative 0.64. So it's at 1858. The DXY is at 101. So it's up slightly, just incrementally. So it's, I mean, markets are kind of even there, but they're not even, I don't know. We've been at 50,000 since Pam Bondi talked about it.
Yeah. But last year sometime.
Was that last year when she was saying that, or was that the beginning of this year?
I don't know. Time just kind of bleeds into it. I thought it was last year.
It could have been. I mean, and things move so flipping fast. Or it seems like you said standstill. I feel like it moves fast, and maybe that's because it's stagnated, right? Like it's exactly the same thing every day. This probably won't be a very long episode. What are we looking at? What's our theoreticals looking at right now?
Okay. First Bitcoin theoretical, if you would have bought some back in October 2023, late October, $3,000 could have netted you 0.0885 Bitcoin. And that $3,000 investment is now worth $5,737, slightly up from last week.
$30
from last week. But still, I mean, it's all about timing. And if you would have timed it before that epic bull run, and that was kind of when that bull run started to happen.
Yeah.
That's when you purchase. Because I don't think we're ever going to see, you know, Bitcoin prices at 37,000.
No, I don't think so. Not personally. I mean, maybe some far flung way down the road, depending on what happens, but I don't think so.
Yeah. In the second theoretical, if you would have bought right at the halving 2 years ago, April 19th, 2024, $1,000 would have bought you 0.01564 at Bitcoin, and that $1,000 investment is worth $1,014.
So that one's up, what is that, $7?
$6, $7, something like that.
$6. I can math good.
Don't spend all that $6 in one place like we said last week, because you're barely breaking even.
Yeah. And I mean, when we look at inflation, you're not even breaking even on that one. I mean, honestly. So it's been, markets are feeling like they're holding their breath. We already talked about, you know, the S&P, NASDAQ, Dow Jones. We were looking at gold last time we talked, so we figured we probably should touch base on that. Gold right now is at $4,052.60. There was supposed to be that big repricing coming through from China, right?
Yep. Potentially. I mean, that's kind of how it was looking.
Yeah. Well, and that doesn't mean that they haven't started it. It just means that, because we were looking at that, and it looks like on the 22nd, it looked like there was a rise in gold's price up to $4,160. Which I mean is fairly, I guess, volatile for gold.
Yeah, I mean, what, it went up like $80 or something.
Yeah. And then it kind of seems like it came back down. So that could have been in anticipation of what was going to happen with China.
Yeah.
You know, one of the buy the rumor, sell the news kind of events. But it doesn't look like anything has really happened with that yet. But that doesn't mean that it won't do anything in the future. I think we'll have to kind of keep tabs on that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. The world's kind of watching, waiting. With everything, I mean, the Middle East kind of seems like it's getting underway, like at least the strikes and whatnot on Iran. So things are just, it just feels weird.
Yeah, absolutely. And oil, last time we talked, oil was at $80, $80 and some change, I think. And now we're at $90. So we are seeing the increase in oil, which we're going to see the increase in the price at the gas pump. It was kind of nice there for a little bit because we got back below $5 again. And now, and that varies. I mean, it depends on where you're at. Some people are paying a lot more than that, but it's going to come back up again.
Yeah.
That's my guess anyways. Not saying I'm psychic, but yeah, not a whole lot there. Anyways, we were going to talk about a few different things. There was a lot of news probably beginning of the week into the middle of the week about the Clarity Act. Bitcoin almost hit 67,000 based on some of that speculation that was going on. And it looks like, I don't know, it looks like it lost some of that momentum. I think last time we recorded, what did we say? We were at 43% on Polymarket for the approval.
Yeah.
And
so, yeah, what is it now? 38%?
38% now. And it looks like we rose as high as 44% up until about Wednesday. So BlackRock CEO teased a bullish prediction, sparking trader excitement. And I think that's kind of what moved the market on that day. Confidence in the Clarity Act skyrocketed after President Trump agreed to sweeping ethics provisions, clearing a major political hurdle. The push predicted market odds of passage from 37. Well, it says it went from 33 to 61% in a week. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent added fuel by saying, lawmakers are at the one-yard line for passage. A phrase that went viral instantly. So, however, Trump, basically what Trump was saying is that no political figure can make money, I think, off the crypto market or off the passage of this bill is what he's talking about for an ethics thing. But if for some reason, it didn't apply to his family.
Well, one thing I'm seeing, I've kind of heard news of is they are looking to potentially pass that bill where Congress can't be trading in the markets.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I don't know, that gets picked up every once in a while. Like, I've been hearing this, you know, since 2017, so almost 10 years. But I did hear something about this, and it's like, wouldn't that be something? You know, they pass this bill, you know, the S&P and everything tops out at whatever it tops out. The congressmen basically empty their bags, take the cash.
And then the just market topples. Oh, yeah. What are the odds? Oh, well, we got out of the market like just in time, like after the recovery happens or right before the recovery happens. They're like, you know what? No, we need to stimulate the economy. We need to be able to invest in those markets too, just like the regular man.
Yeah. I don't know. It almost seems like a setup for me, but maybe I'm just need to break out my tinfoil. I don't know. Or put away my tinfoil.
Put away the tinfoil. Yeah, I don't know. It's such an odd... It's such a mess, man. Like, that is... I don't know what to say about that whole thing. Like, the insider trading, I mean, and it's not just one side of the aisle that's both political or Republican and Democrat that benefit from those types of insider trades and getting to vote on legislation that affects markets and then being like, oh, yeah, let's move some money there because we're about to pass this. To me, I'm like, it's ridiculous. But I don't know. It's so one of the other things that they were talking about, and it's sad because most of this news seems like it was updated midweek and I haven't gotten anything for the end of the week, but this next story was basically Bitcoin reclaimed 66,000 on massive ETF flows. So we pulled up the Farside charts. We were looking at that. And yeah, I mean, it looks like everything was kind of trending that way. Like we had consecutive days of black. But then that kind of topped out on the 21st. And then subsequently, I think that was probably right around the time that we had the positive news from Scott Bessent and everything else. And then on the 22nd, inflows were at 69 million. And then after that, it was basically wiped out between what had happened from the 8th to the 24th. So, I mean, maybe it was slightly to the positive side, but obviously not enough to keep the price captured at the rate that we're at.
Yeah. No, it looks pretty much sideways, and the, you know, the pluses and the minuses, it doesn't seem like there's any momentum in any direction.
Mm-hmm.
Or as soon as it looks like it's going to gather some momentum, it changes on a dime.
Yeah. Yeah. And everybody was hyped about that. And I don't know, it's still, Clarity Act is kind of the, and you said this before, I think on the last time we recorded, and probably a few episodes before that, is that Bitcoin doesn't need the Clarity Act. Bitcoin will continue on with or without it. It always has, or at least so far it always has. And I agree with you 100% on that. The Clarity Act, I think, would just help institutional investors feel like they get some clarity, but it's one of those things like Bitcoin will keep on TikTok next block, regardless of what Congress does or what the government does. And we've seen it before with China. China banned Bitcoin, I don't know how many times, and it still continued. Like the blockchain doesn't stop.
Yep. And that's basically it. You know, it's more about fiat currencies just seem to be doomed, especially Western ones, the way we're kind of treating the checkbook, as it were.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things. I think long-term, gold and Bitcoin is basically going to be the only safe havens left.
Yeah, I agree.
In my opinion.
And when you talk about gold, it's got to be physical gold, not the paper stuff.
Exactly.
So it looks like, I mean, kind of leading up to what was going on is XRP holders faced a July 23rd deadline tied to Trump's crypto earnings disclosure, a pressure point that could determine the bill's advances. And it looks like that didn't materialize in that sense. The act would have cemented XRP's community status in the federal law, removing the biggest legal overhang for institutional investors. Updated bill also closes the Dino loophole, targeting platforms claiming decentralization while retaining control. This is the important part that I liked, is that it also protects self-custody and from crypto being classified as abandoned. Because there's a lot of people that have maybe some supply of Bitcoin and some sort of a cold storage. I mean, like, has been locked up, and that shouldn't be looked at as abandoned just because people are holding on to it. Fidelity, which manages $7 trillion, publicly endorsed the bill, urging the Senate to pass it, which was a major institutional signal. And the crypto advocacy group, Blockchain Association Digital Chamber, sent a joint letter urging passage, citing the need for federal consumer protection framework. So that was kind of, I think, what gave us the tailwind kind of going into the week early on. And then, I mean, we still haven't seen anything really kind of materialize for that. In the macro news, Federal Reserve Monetary Policy Report, inflation is still elevated. We were looking at trueflation beforehand, and right now, Bureau of Labor Statistics was saying it's at 3.5%. Trueflation currently, as of today, is sitting at 2.1. So that's kind of right on target.
Yeah, that's actually pretty interesting.
Yeah, why do you think there's such a difference between the two?
Well, trueflation obviously gets their numbers first, so they're trying to track it in real time. I don't know. It almost seems like there's some type of deflationary pressure just from the economy. I don't know. I'm very pessimistic about the economy. I think that might have something to do with it. People are not spending their money. Prices are not being driven up. That's kind of just how I see it. But I mean, we have to wait a little while to actually see how this unfolds.
Yeah. So according to the official numbers, inflation rose 4.1% year over year. Core PCE was at 3.4. Energy price shocks from the Middle East conflict are your major driver. And obviously we kind of talked about that with oil, how it's up in price. Fed is going to maintain rates right now. Labor markets are looking stable. They're saying productivity is strong. We'll have to see what kind of earnings reports look like for this coming week. I think we're going to get quite a bit of those coming out. IMF World Economic Outlook, that basically the war and AI driving opposing forces. So you've got a tailwind for the markets in general, just due to the AI. But that's kind of a closed loop because it's just kind of trading that money amongst themselves. But then the war is causing some issues. So global growth projected to be 3% for 2026. Middle East conflict creates negative supply shocks. AI cycle creates positive demand shocks. So that could be a big reason why we're in that stagnation. You know, where we feel like we're just going sideways.
Yeah. And I, you know, I said I've been pessimistic lately. I really do think the AI market is just a complete bubble. But like I said, we'll see how it goes, because that's really what's keeping everything afloat in the stock markets.
Yeah.
Lately.
Well, and I don't know if I've talked to you about this or not. Maybe we've discussed this on the podcast. I can't recall, but working, because within my corporation, like there was a big push, and we go back about 3 months, there was a big push for AI adoption. So I got tapped on the shoulder to become what they call like a senior AI ambassador within the company. And so what that means basically is I was supposed to be urging people to start to promote AI, use AI, communicate with us for any type of agent work or anything like that they needed created, and how it could help tackle issues within the corporation. And then about a month ago, and once it was right around, yeah, it was right around a month ago, I think June 20th, there were a lot of model type work that we had access to, which it was, they're super powerful, right? Like they were able to do a lot of different things. Like they were able to actually do some true agentic type work and actually get some stuff accomplished. We were encouraged to kind of work with those models and come up with agents and help, like I said, help promote all that stuff. And then Microsoft and ChatGPT like pulled the brakes on those models, those frontier models, and said that they were going to start charging per usage because we had open access to them before. So now, and I think this wasn't just our corporation, right? There was a lot of corporations hit by this. And now it's like, well, wait, you want us to use this? We're paying for this already, but now you want to charge us per usage on top of that?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's where we're going to see, I don't know, they may have pulled that too soon. And that may be what kind of pops that bubble. Because if they can't continue to show productivity gains within the workplace, and let's be honest, most corporations and most people, they were not dealing with the frontier models. So once you finally start dealing with the frontier models, which are the cutting edge, newest of the new, you're finally getting to where you're like, oh, okay, I can see actually where you could tackle some stuff. Like it could do analysis and stuff like that previously, but now it's actually being able to do some work. Like it was actually able to go in, pull different data information, put it together, analyze it, and kind of give you an output report that was actually very well done. And so now I think they realized what they had and they're like, okay, well now we're going to start to charge you even more for it if you want to use it. And when you have a corporation where you've got many multiple teams, developing agents and working on these things at the same time, that gets costly real fast. I think it was within 2 weeks, our token allotment that we were given was gone.
Wow.
So I don't know. I feel like they're going to back off the throttle of, some of this AI working until perhaps they work out a better deal that's more advantageous for the corporations and don't cost so much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to me, it just sounds like if you were subscribing to, just say, Netflix, and then they started charging you per movie mm-hmm. that you watched on top, that'd be like, no, that's all right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, corporations, they're all going to be about like, well, you're telling us that we can't control how much we spend, right?
Yeah, it's like just open up that spigot of money, and every corporation right now is going, no thanks.
Mm-hmm. Especially with the way the markets are right now.
Yeah, exactly. Though it seems like RAM and GPUs and stuff like that are just so ridiculously expensive right now. It's not even funny.
Yeah. I mean, look at the Steam machine. Like I had early on, I think about, yeah, it was probably, I remember all of us, we were over at a friend's little tap room kind of thing that he has at his house. And we were talking about the Steam machine. And at the time I was like, you know what, if it comes out and it's like $500, I'd probably get one just to support Steam and what they do, because they make a lot of cool things. Like, I mean, Steam, unlike a lot of the other corporation stuff that are out there, they're not licensing it to you. They're selling it to you. And when you have it, it's yours. $500, I may have bought one. But I think it's $1,000 for a subpar. I mean, it's a good entry level, maybe gaming PC, but it's not anything to write home about. And the amount of money they're having to charge just because of the cost for the components is kind of through the roof. And it's unlike anything that we've seen in the past, because what always happened with tech? What always got cheaper? Technology typically made electronics cheaper across the board.
Yep.
And now we're not seeing that.
Yep. Well, yeah, that's actually, you know, when it comes to inflation, I mean, that's the only thing that you could look at to get cheaper long-term was electronics.
Yeah. And I mean, really, the only thing they could do is release a better quality TV, but it was going to be the same price as what it was the year before.
Yep. And like I said, with when it comes to computers and stuff like that, it's been just kind of nuts. I mean, they were blaming crypto for a long time for GPU prices, and now they're blaming AI. I don't know. All I can say is NVIDIA is making money hand over fist still. So.
Yeah. Yeah, because I mean, they're tapped into both sides of that market, right? They're still within the crypto markets, and then they're still within the, I guess, the AI and also the gaming markets.
Yep.
And more specifically, I mean, they're focusing on AI. So, I don't know. Goldman Sachs, they released what they call the market pulse. AI investments may reach 1.5% of the U.S. GDP this year. Like I said, it's that weird, weird crosswinds where it's a mixed outlook. So everything kind of is in general, like just we're at a standstill. Nothing's changing. I guess hardware, computer hardware and those types of things are going up, which is kind of adverse to what we're used to. AI is kind of at its either make it or break it point, I feel like. And I don't know if the big companies out there, if they're making the right move, but if that AI bubble bursts, what do we have?
We have a lot of imploding markets in the biggest bubble in history unraveling.
Yeah.
That's what I see.
I mean, data centers, you're starting to see a lot of pushback from civic groups about building data centers and communities. And I don't know how I feel about that one way or the other.
Yeah. Well, I know that there's two things that data centers need, and they need water and they need power. So, you know, especially out here in the West, around the whole Colorado River Basin, you know, Lake Mead is drying up. Lake Powell is dried up. You know, the lake in our neck of the woods, it's doing okay, but one day I think we might get a call where they're just going to like pull a whole crap load out.
Yes.
Sent downstream, you know? So, and the other thing is with energy, I mean, where they have data centers, you know, the price of electricity has skyrocketed because that's consuming a huge chunk of it. So, I mean, as a community, I mean, I understand the pushback, you know. No, I want to keep my water, and I don't want to be paying more for electricity. No, yeah. Thank you.
Well, and I think it's kind of crazy because it sounds like they're pushing the cost back onto the consumers in the area.
Yeah.
Rather than charging the data centers, because they're trying to give them such an incentive. And I think there's been a lot of NDAs that with some of these community leaders, as city council members and stuff like that, as these data centers come in, where they may be giving them some money just to be like, yeah, sign this bill. It's going to be good for you. Good for your local economy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of grease the skids on the political side. And then, you know, the community has to pay for it. And yep. Totally unpopular. Yeah. No, that totally sounds like how things are happening. And this is basically just crony capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
At its worst or finest, however you look at it.
Getting it done. I don't know. Like, I mean, I still feel like, obviously, I am for AI as a tool. And I think that we should continue to expand on it and work on it. However, I don't know at what cost. Like, I think it's interesting when we look at SpaceX and, you know, he's talking about building data centers that'll float in space, basically. And then it doesn't really consume resources. I mean, it does sun, but I mean, we have a huge abundance of that. So I don't know. I don't know if that's the way to go. And will these data centers be abandoned in 5 years, like a lot of them say, because the tech will be so changed at that point?
Yeah, I don't know. That, you know, that's the thing. We're kind of seeing some, it feels like we're living in somewhat science fiction land. You know, we don't have flying cars, but what our computers are doing now is pretty crazy.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we're on that cusp, right? Like we're right before that break.
Yeah.
And it's either going to be, and I don't know which way it's going to break. I don't know if it's going to break to the upside or break to the downside, or if it's going to do something in between where it breaks kind of down and then comes back up. Like, I mean, in order of abundance or positivity for humanity. Yeah.
Yeah. It has a lot of room to go. You know, it could be a huge benefit or it could be create a dystopian future. I just don't know which direction it's going to go on that front.
I agree. And I think that's why gold and Bitcoin, like you said earlier, I think is a good thing to have.
Yep.
Not financial advice. So, I don't know, man. Is there anything else you want to bring up today?
That's it for me.
Me too. We'll keep an update on gold prices, and obviously we'll keep tracking Bitcoin. Hopefully, I'm still hoping for the Clarity Act. I do want to see that get approved. I think we've mentioned this before. I want to see it get done before Trump be kind of... And I'm assuming Trump's going to become a lame duck, but I'm assuming Trump is going to be a lame duck and then he won't get anything passed. He'll get it impeached a couple more times and then, it'll just be a show. So
it'll just be a gridlock.
Yeah. Nothing's going to happen. Government's going to shut down again, all this kind of stuff. So that's kind of where I'm at. But we will talk to y'all soon.
Hans.
Oh, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I can't disagree with you, Hans. And, you know, we're just too... rays of sunshine for your leaf world.
I know. God, I wish I could be more positive, but man, we talked about that. We had so much hope a couple years ago.
Yep.
But anyways, we will talk to y'all soon and we hope that y'all are being safe. Be blessed.
Indeed.